And good morning and good afternoon again to each of you and all of you. Settling in to your seat. Finishing your last sip of coffee or tea. Or juice or water, whatever it might be. And settling into your body, heart, mind. Relaxing. And letting any areas of tightness, hardness, tension that you notice, letting this soften. And bringing a very simple whole body sense, connection and sense to the posture. Not analyzing or correcting, but connecting. Sensing. Sitting. This body sitting. In bringing attention to touch points, contact points, where the body and the ground, the body and the cushion, the chair and the body are touching. And just notice the subtle touching sensations. Noticing hands, maybe touching each other, or legs and hands touching. And maybe noticing the subtle sensations of cloth, clothing, and body touching at different parts or places around the body. Simple, mindful presence. Embodied. And bringing attention up to the ear doors. Ear doors open. receiving sound. I'd like to offer a reflection this morning that comes from Mingyur Rinpoche. Some of you may be familiar with him. He's a relatively young Tibetan monk. Who I, in fact, didn't exactly meet, but saw when he was a very small boy running around at his father's monastery, where I practiced for not very long, a little while. And he and his brother Tsogni Rinpoche were little fellows, and they were running around all over the place at the monastery. He's now a Dharma teacher in the Tibetan tradition. And he's just written a book, or recently written a book, called In Love with the World. And the book is based on his fairly recent, a couple of years ago, 3-year practice journey around India as a wandering monk. And this is an excerpt from that book. May I have happiness. May I be free. I repeated this refrain until I could feel the meaning slide down my throat like a thick syrup that takes its time, slowly encompassing my heart, my lungs, seeping into my stomach, inhabiting my legs, oozing into my feet. May I have happiness. May I be free. I repeated this until the meaning of the words thoroughly soaked into my being, until I softened and my heart opened. Not as fully as I had known at other times, but so much further than it had in the previous days that I started to cry with appreciation. May I have happiness. May I be free. After about 30 minutes, I felt stabilized enough in relationship to myself to extend this aspiration to others. Unlike repeating the reminders on the train, I would not look upon a mass of others, but direct my awareness to a particular person. I chose the wife of the man who I had chatted with, who had come to lunch with us the day before. She had been shy, keeping her eyes lowered and her face, and not talking much, but her manner had been warm and gentle. I glanced at her long enough to hold her face in my mind, then lowered my eyes and repeated, "May she be happy. May she be free." I thought about her life, her hardships. May she have food. May she have shelter. May her children be healthy. May she be happy. May she be free. I repeated this until I felt her sweetness, her lovable qualities, her worthiness to be loved and respected as much as I was. We shared the same wisdom, the same fundamental luminous emptiness. Beyond dualities, we lived in the mutual, boundless environment of unconditional love and awareness. Compassion that arises with empathy acknowledges that ignorance causes suffering. Not the suffering of poverty and homelessness, but the suffering of misperception, of taking phenomena to be real in ways that are not true. The woman is as precious as I am, but there are no signs that she knows how to free her mind from misperception. I stayed with this woman's image until I knew that I loved her unconditionally. I loved her husband and children. I wished for them the same happiness and freedom from suffering as for the children of my own family and for the little monks at Turgar. I expanded my heart to all the people in the station, the people on the floor, the people rushing by, the vendors who had sold me rice and dal and tea, the dormitory manager. I expanded my love to include all of those on the train from Gaia, those who had stepped on me and fallen into me. And I knew without a doubt that they, too, wanted happiness. It was the same for everyone in this entire world, the same for every pet, every wild animal, every insect, every rat that scurried by seeking happiness in a crumb. I rested, quiet and calm. I entertained no delusions that this respite would bring an end to my difficulties, but it lessened my anxieties about having no place to go. Images of myself as a beginning swimmer kept emerging. The strong currents, especially the vulnerability that swelled from being alone, had carried me away from my own internal protection. I had kept my head above water, but had struggled. Now the tide had turned and was coming in. I imagined a good swimmer feeling fearless in the water. No, not just fearless. It was not good enough to only negate fear. A good swimmer would welcome rough waters as a challenge. In this dirtiest train station of all of India, I would learn how to swim. Yes, I can do this. And so we'll sit silently now for about 45 minutes. So you have a few hours now to continue with your practice on your own time. And I'll be meeting with some of you, those who have signed up for a practice meeting this morning or today. And see you later.